we go ahead and start.
Okay, I would like to now call this meeting to order and welcome all in attendance tonight. I just want to let you know that staff has asked City Council and Planning Commission members to just watch and not participate or answer any of the poll questions. So if you're watching, you know why the City Council and Planning Commission are not answering. Tonight, Susie with FFKR will conduct our tonight's second town hall with concerning the general plan, and tonight's focus is on transportation. And I turn the time over to Susie.
Great. Thanks, Sally. Welcome, everybody. My name is Susie Pathern. I'm a senior planner with FFKR, and I'll be facilitating tonight's meeting along with Tim Baird from Fair and Peers. And we're happy to have you here tonight. Just wanted to let you know that helping us behind the scenes, we've got Heidi with FFKR and Doug and Lisa from South Ogden City. So they'll be helping us to sort of manage the technical aspects of Zoom and help us with the polling questions and the slides and the screen share. But thanks for taking the time to join us tonight. I'm just going to go ahead and bring up the slide series that Tim will present for us. So give me just a second to bring up that screen. Okay. And we'll probably, are we okay to see the screen? Tim, can you see the slideshow? Okay, great. Sometimes it looks a little different when I've got second monitor up. So tonight is the second in a three-part town hall series that we're holding to just have some discussion and give some information about the general plan update. So tonight our focus topic is transportation. And tonight, just sort of the overview of what we're going to cover, we'll just do a quick recap of the who, what, and why of the general plan. And then Tim is going to provide us an overview of our focus topic tonight of transportation and how it relates to the general plan. And then we're going to finish and spend the majority of our time doing some polling questions and having discussion with you, the audience that's joined us here tonight. And just to give you an overview of how that's going to work, we are going to do an example poll question and discussion so that you can be prepared for what that's going to look like when we get to that point in the town hall. So Heidi, if you want to go ahead and start the sample question.
Okay.
And polling. And so with each of these questions, you'll see this pop up on your screen, you'll submit your answer, and then once everybody is submitted and we close the polling results will show up on your screen. And then that's how we'll start our discussion. We'll say, you know, it looks like, you know, 67% of people would like to see the moose as South Ogden City's mascot. Let's hear from some people that selected moose and tell us a little bit about why that was your choice. And so that's just an example of how then we'll move into some discussion. At this point, this is when you'll use that raise hand feature in your meeting controls, and we'll unmute you if you aren't able to unmute yourself, but you will need to sort of confirm that unmute, and then we'd like to hear your comment, and we'll just work the discussion that way. So that's just an example of what we'll get to in that portion. And then let's go ahead and move back to the slide and go ahead and close out that poll. All right, so I'm going to turn the time over to Tim now, and he's just going to tell us a little bit about transportation.
All right. Well, thank you, Susie, and thanks to everybody who signed on tonight to hear a little bit about the general plan and what we're looking at in terms of transportation in it. I just wanted to provide a little bit of an overview on what the general plan is and isn't going to look at in terms of sort of transportation background and research and setting out new directions for the city, as well as a little bit about the sort of regional planning context that the general plan falls into. So some of the key things that the general plan update is going to explore and has already looked at in our existing conditions element of the plan is existing roads and transit service, current and project traffic volumes within the city, you know, based on both what we see on the ground now, as well as modeling the future conditions. An overview of some of the planned projects that are going to take place in South Ogden in the near to midterm future. We'll go into that in a little bit more detail in just a moment. We've got a little bit of information on safety and crash patterns across the community where we see more concentrations of vehicle or bike and pedestrian accidents, collisions. And then just in terms of kind of the level of outputs of this plan, once we've taken all that information into account, the primary goal here is to set priorities for the community, identify some of the key strategies that are worth exploring in the coming years, and identify items that are going to need some more detailed further study. The general plan isn't going to go into the level of detail of investigating individual intersections or roadways in a great deal of detail. It's not going to design projects for implementation right away, but rather to help the city set priorities and focus in on additional planning or design efforts down the road. If you can move to the next slide. One of the key sources of data for the general plan and sort of setting the context of what's going to be happening in the coming years is the Wasatch Front Regional Council, or WFRC's 2050 Regional Transportation Plan. So this is a regional plan that covers several counties and looks at major transportation investments for roadways, for transit, and for active transportation projects, which means bikes, bike lanes, trails, any sort of infrastructure designed for people getting around on foot, by bike, by scooter, modes like that. So a number of investments are planned for South Ogden. There are a handful of roadway widening or improvement projects on books, including US 89 widening, widening of Harrison Boulevard, some improvements to 40th Street and 36th Street. So those are all things that are going to be coming in coming years. There's a couple of improved transit services that are expected to be conducted by UTA. And then quite a number, really the most projects by a fair margin, are in that active transportation bucket. So projects like adding bike lanes, adding new trail connections and so forth to help people get around both for recreation and for more practical kind of trips. So this gives us a little context of some of these regional investments that are going to take place in South Ogden between now and 2050 that helps sort of calibrate, okay, what else does South Ogden need to look at and plan around for the coming years? I think with that, we can move on to discussion phase.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. All right. So What we want to do now is just spend a little bit of time talking about transportation. We've got a series of three poll questions, and after each one, we're going to start a little bit of a discussion. So I'm going to go ahead and stop sharing my screen and switch it over to the poll questions for Heidi.
Okay, launching the first one now.
So as you can see for that first question, we're just interested in hearing a little bit about some of the locations where those active modes that we've mentioned are kind of difficult to use, whether you feel uncomfortable or unsafe or otherwise, it's just difficult to get to different places. You can see the list on there. And if there's places that we've missed that stand out to you when you're thinking about where walking and biking is difficult, feel free to drop those into the chat. You just go to the bar at the bottom. You should be able to send that out to the group.
And just a quick note that this is set up so that you pick your top choice. I think many of you may decide that all of these seem relevant to you, but go ahead and just identify your top priority. And then if you've got more to say, or if you don't see your issue on here, we'll bring that up in the discussion. So we'll just give everybody a minute or so to finish answering those questions. And I know that some of the people that are attendees, maybe some of the facilitators or the City Council or Planning Commission members. So we might not get everybody doing the poll.
All right. And I was just informed that for the sake of the recording, we need to read the questions out loud. So bear with me while I just go through that real quickly. So the first question, getting around on foot or bicycle. The question is, where is it currently difficult and or unpleasant to get around on foot or by bicycle? And the options are near 40th Street and Washington Boulevard, Highway 89, getting across Highway 89, accessing neighborhood or city parks in the commercial areas of the city, going from or to neighboring communities or regional destinations, and then the last choice is everywhere. Or if there's a specific other location, as I said, you can put that in the chat.
Right. So I think we'll go ahead and just end the polling on this first one. And it looks like, three out of the six people, so 50% people, so that everywhere feels like it can be challenging or not quite the most pleasant experience if you're moving around South Ogden City, either as a pedestrian or by bicycle. And so, for some of those people that did answer everywhere, is there anybody that wants to talk a little bit about that and tell us, why they feel that's the case and where, where we can improve and how we can improve. We'd like to hear a little bit from you. Yeah, so if you want to speak up, go ahead and just raise your hand and we'll get you unmuted.
Any brave souls out there who want to chime in?
Well, I'll chime in. I didn't, and I don't know where, I should know where the hand up raising is, and I am not. usually I'm on the other side, right? So this is Valerie Clausen.
Hi, Val. Thanks for joining us.
How you guys doing? Yeah. Great. So I get to now, wear my resident hat.
Excellent.
So I did not respond. I actually didn't end up responding to any of them because I guess I see the everywhere, and I have a follow-up question. I mean, how much of everywhere becomes a matter of the topography, right? I mean, I don't know if we're framing it in a form that is fair to say, because I live on a street that I bought that I don't expect to walk. Now, my poor son has had to walk, and he's a lot cooler than I am, and he's able to get around on our wide street and get over to 89. They happen to piggyback the crossing guard there during the school hours, and so fortunately, the city has done a good job, whether on purpose or not, to be able to provide that service. to kids who are needing to catch the bus. And I actually don't even know if that's kids that are, he had to catch the bus that's there in Washington Terrace. And my guess is that must be a crossing guard for, I don't know, junior high that must be over there. I don't know. Or high school. So anyways, so I don't know. I it's funny to say maybe everywhere, but the topography of South Ogden, same thing with Costco. I don't expect to go and walk at Costco. So I, you know, but the one thing that caught my eye was maybe the access to parks. But again, a lot of the communities aren't built. They're going to be larger lots. You're not expecting to walk. I sure as heck am not going to be able to bike. I'm not that cool. And so, you know, but is there a trail that might could get me from a neighborhood into a park? I mean, I think that would be something that can be looked at. But yeah, I'm fascinated to hear what other people say with just everywhere.
Great. Thanks, Valerie. Those are some great comments. And if there is anyone that answered everywhere or given Valerie's comments, if that sparked some more thoughts on your own in regard to accessing some of those commercial areas or the parks and places in the city where you want to go, we want to hear a little bit from you. So, and maybe just as a sort of a Zoom overview, if you want to rename yourself so that we can call on you by name, like Val, you can go ahead into if you hover over your box, you can see that there's three dots that come up in the upper right corner, and you can go in and rename yourself. And then if you want to raise your hand, if you go down to the bottom of the screen and click on the participants, that will bring up the list of the participants. And then on the bottom right side of that is another little box with three dots. And that's where you can go in and raise your hand. So let's see, anybody else that wants to talk a little bit about, you know, biking or being a pedestrian in South Ogden City?
Josh has a comment.
Great. Okay. Josh, thanks for joining us again today. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what your thoughts are for this question?
So I was one of the ones that selected everywhere. And the reason why I did that is because we're up on the north end of the city. Our sidewalks are pretty much non-existent. And the ones that we do have are in disrepair. I've got four kids, two teenagers and two younger ones. I don't like them to, we've got a church across the street from us, which is great for them because that's where I send them to play, but I don't like them or trust them to go out and get around the city that they should be able to get around in our neighborhood because they're forced out into the road. And we don't just stick around to the north end, you know, we go on bike rides in the summertime and stuff like that, but it's an atrocity to try and go around bike rides in our city. In fact, most of the time I load up my truck with our bikes and we go to Ogden because they've got such better bike paths. So that's one of the reasons why I selected everywhere. The other reason is we have neighbors that walk and use public transit. And again, I watched them walk down the road and contend with cars to get to the bus stops. They walk to Macy's, they walk to Costco. Not everybody is fortunate enough to have vehicles. We are, and it's not a problem for me, but I'm speaking on behalf of both my children and surrounding neighbors that I watch in the area. And when I think about cities that I've lived in the past and South Ogden's vision, if you can't get around unless you have a vehicle, it's not a great city to live in. So that's why I selected everywhere.
Great. Thanks, Josh. I think those are some good comments. And, you know, I think hearing sort of the different types of solutions is also great. And so it's, you know, it's about having sidewalks that are in good condition. It's about having some of those bike lanes or bike paths, but even some of those trails. And one of the things with the general plan and transportation is figuring out how, you know, we can support a high quality of life for South Ogden residents and support your community well-being. So, you know, when we get to the end of the meeting, we'll have a link to a survey that you can take, the community well-being survey. And that has, you know, in addition to transportation and housing questions, has some general questions about well-being, what the things are that contribute to your personal well-being as well as that of the community. So I think those are some great comments. So in addition to Val and Josh, is there anybody else that wanted to talk a little bit about biking and getting around South Ogden on foot and some of the challenges, or even some of the areas that, you know, they feel are doing well and where the city has done a good job helping you by providing some of those amenities? Okay, so I think we can go ahead and move on to the second polling question, Heidi.
Okay. Okay, there it is.
All right. I'll just for the sake of the recording, I'll walk us through it. So this question is focused on future growth, and wording is, which issue are you most concerned about when thinking of growth and future traffic problems? The options are, first, congestion coming into or leaving South Ogden, congestion driving around on roads within South Ogden, congestion on regional roadways like I-15, I-84, Highway 89, having good transit service as a reliable alternative to driving a car, having safe places to walk, bike, or get around when not in a car, safe emphasized. And lastly, impacts on active lifestyles or access to recreational opportunities. So as Susie said previously, if there's several of these answers that resonate as concerns for you, just select the one that, you know, most matches or kind of rises to your highest concern or priority. We can probably just give that another moment or two and then close it out. All right, do we want to take a look at the results?
You bet. Here we go.
All right. So I think this builds nicely off of our previous conversation where, you know, one of the top priorities is having those safe places to walk or bike or get around if you aren't either driving a car or riding in a car. And so that's some good consistency with that previous question. And let's just look at a little bit about some of the specific areas that it seems like the second option is sort of the regional roadways and the congestion, because we know that growth in South Ogden is impacted not just by what's going on in your own city, but those regional issues and that regional growth. And that's going to impact the way people, you know, commute to their jobs or to amenities that may not be within South Ogden City. So let's go ahead and bring it open for discussion. And you know, if there's anything else specific about creating safe walking and biking atmospheres that we didn't cover in the previous discussion, let's bring it out to the audience and see if there's anything else that somebody wanted to comment on. And Val or Josh, you know, feel free to chime back in if you thought of something else, or if there's anybody else that has some thoughts to share, go ahead and raise your hand or let's get you unmuted. Right. Got Val ready to speak up, so.
I kind of have a follow-up question as far as, so some of this development in South Ogden, is nearing build-out, right? So a lot of it's going to be the redevelopment. And some of the concerns of safety with new street sections and things like that would probably take care of it too, right? Like there isn't just this free form, oh, I need to feel safe, but like most when development comes in or redevelops and there's some way to trigger the changes in that, then the current city standards probably do have the sidewalks, you know, what, right? And I mean, I might be making assumptions, but I think some of that gets covered, correct? Is that?
That's great. Matt, do you, or Doug or Lisa, do you want to?
City staff.
I can speak to that if you'd like me to.
Perfect. So this is, thanks, Lisa.
This is Lisa. So you're right. Many years ago, when a lot of the older parts of the city were being developed, there was not a requirement for sidewalks to be installed by the developer. The city has lots of regrets about that, and as I am sure many cities do. However, our current code does require all types of sidewalks and pedestrian areas. So yes, as the city does redevelop, those things will be put in. I'm not sure how much that will affect single family neighborhoods, but rather more the commercial areas of the city.
That makes sense, Lisa, completely, that the residential's here and stuff, but we also bought into it too. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I guess that's part of it. I'm a little protective going, hey, like we bought into the developments with what they are. So I think at that point, then there just needs to be a review on making sure that when the improvements are changed, right, when the development occurs, that the gaps that are identified, that then there's a game plan in place that says, okay, this has been improved. The sidewalk now leads to nowhere. And so we're going to have to just figure out a way to identify those gaps and how is that going to be paid for or whatever. Right. So that's.
Exactly. Yeah. I think those are great comments, Val. And I think that's, you know, when you're talking about the general plan and sort of identifying these bigger issues, you know, the next step is then identifying specific action items or strategies and maybe conducting a citywide sidewalk inventory, you know, may be a great project or action step to identify in the general plan, knowing that we do have some of those areas where they're not as well served just because of the age and vintage of those residential neighborhoods. And they may have been, you know, constructed without the same amenities that we're seeing in some of the areas today. So I think that's a great comment. And it looks like we've got Josh with his hand up. So Josh, if you want to go ahead and chime in, we'd love to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, I've just got a comment about, so one of the roads in our neighborhood, it's 38th Street, it's just north of the city building there. It was a number of years ago, I can't remember how many, but they redid, I think it was a sewer line in there. So it was a major overhaul, just they did on 37th Street recently. And in the process, they had a lot of it tore up, replaced a lot of the entryways into the residence and stuff, but is one of the things they did there, and it would have been a great opportunity, and this is more just an observation, I know there's a lot more that goes into it than that, but that would have been a prime time for them to fix the sidewalks and add sidewalks where they're missing sidewalks, which they didn't do. There's sidewalks that just come to an end right about Porter Avenue and 38th Street, and then people are forced to walk on the road from there all the way down to Washington where the bus stop is. So that, again, is just one of my comments. It's unfortunate, too, because I feel like this is being addressed with the new developments, and there's these older neighborhoods that had their chance, now they're left behind, and it just feels like a disservice to, almost like these older neighborhoods are being forgotten unless there's a new development going in. To add to that point, there's the development that went in where the old senior center was, and again, nothing addressing the sidewalks around the surrounding area, not from the developer, of course, because why would they need to do anything with that? But again, just an observation.
Great. Thanks, Josh. Those are great observations. And I think, you know, all these things are great to identify. And then, you know, from the city side, you know, it then, you know, takes the next step of figuring out how do we pay for all these improvements, and, you know, how do we stagger them? You know, is it something that, you know, is done incrementally? You know, what does that translate in regard to, you know, property taxes or, you know, the capital improvement budget, and figuring out what those next steps are for addressing some of these issues. So it's great to be able to identify them, but then we also want to try to link solutions for implementing some of these ideas and kind of making sure that South Ogden is ready for its next layer of evolution. And there's going to be more people moving in with that redevelopment. And I know the city is eager to support not only that new development, but its existing residents and the beautiful neighborhoods that it has. So great comments. And we'll see if there's anybody else that wanted to chime in, including anybody. You know, I think if you're a city council member or a planning commissioner, and if any of these ideas are sort of resonating as sort of hot button issues for you, or things that, you know, you've been trying to champion, feel free to chime in. You know, we want to have you be part of the discussion. Since that we do have a smaller group, I think we're okay to open it up a little bit.
Yeah, this is Jerry. Susie, I think all the topics and the outline that you've set up is very good. You're touching all the key points, and I'm glad that we've got some input on access and what problems getting to parks and circulation and that sort of thing. So anyway, I want to thank you for that part of it. And the process is going forward very well.
Great. Thanks, Jerry. I'm glad you were able to join us tonight. And, you know, we're excited for the opportunity to do these town halls. And we know that not everybody is going to be able to join in live in person like we all are tonight. But we are recording each of these, and we'll have them available, you know, on the city's website so that people can go back and listen to the conversation, and then, you know, just be able to say like, oh yeah, I've got a comment along those same lines, or that sparks a different thought, and that'll, you know, give them a chance to send in their comments. So if there isn't any other discussion on the issue, we can move on to.
Oh, actually, there's we just had a comment in the chat.
Yeah.
I'll just read it for
sure.
Those who might be joining late on the recording. With the lack of sidewalks in much of the north of the city, there is no safe place for young school kids to wait for the bus, especially in the winter. So yeah, good point around just sort of that element of safety for kids trying to get to school or trying to get around neighborhoods, get to parks, things of that nature. So that meshes in well with the other comments that we received so far.
Great. And so maybe in that regard, is safe routes to school, is that something that the city has identified routes or works with the school district to help identify some of those safe routes to school? And again, this Lisa or Doug or Matt, if you wanted to chime in.
Yes, we do.
Great. Okay. That's what I figured. And I think that's something that we'll look to see, you know, is there anything that can be expanded? You know, as the our visiting person said, those primarily address the routes for walkers. And, you know, is there a way that the general plan can kind of take that and look at how that might be expanded for multiple modes of transportation, you know, including biking?
So, Susie, I'm wondering if the question was really not about kids walking to school, but more about kids waiting for the bus, it looks like to me.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Okay. So transit. Perfect. Thanks, Doug, for clarifying that. Okay. Great. Let's go ahead and bring up the third and, I believe, final polling question for our discussion.
Okay.
third question on transportation priorities. Relative to where we are today, what should South Ogden prioritize in regard to transportation of the following choices? And I'll read those off for anybody joining after the fact. Adding capacity to major roads and intersections, enhancing safety and addressing areas with frequent collisions, whether that's auto, auto bike, or auto and pedestrian. Maintaining or improving roadway surfaces, so the pavement quality. Working with UTA to improve transit service. Expanding bicycle and pedestrian paths, crosswalks, sidewalks, and trails. Or improving the connections between neighborhoods and neighboring communities. So we'll take a few minutes, let everybody think on that. And again, you know, if multiple answers in here are important to you, try and pick one that, you know, rises to the top. Right, we should have some responses coming in, and if you want to just give it a few more minutes and close out. That'd be great. Right, we ready to see how people responded?
Yeah, let's go ahead and end the polling. And interesting results, because one of the things that we did earlier today is just did a sort of an early download of the initial results of the community well-being survey that is out there right now for South Ogden residents to take. And it pretty much matches the distribution of our answers tonight, that the top two answers so far of the responses for that community well-being survey are maintaining or improving roadway surfaces and expanding bicycle and pedestrian paths, crosswalks, sidewalks, and trails. So we have one other additional answer tonight about adding capacity to major roads and intersections, but I think the maintaining or improving roadway surfaces, I know that's something that the city is aware of, and it's something that we have heard in our town hall last week and from other surveys that the city has done. So, you know, we'd like to hear any other additional thoughts. If you didn't already share those comments last week, or if you have anything additional to add regarding maintaining or improving roadway surfaces, but the other answer about expanding bike and ped paths and crosswalks and sidewalks and trails. You know, I think one of the things that we haven't heard specifically discussed are crosswalks. And if there's anybody that has some specific thoughts on that, I'd love to hear from you now. So go ahead and raise your hand if you want to chime in with a comment.
Susie, I'd like to make a comment. This is Lisa from staff.
Great. Go ahead. Thanks, Lisa.
So based on the previous question and the comments, it seems like we're getting a little bit of a mixed message here. because people now are saying maintaining or improving roadway surfaces is a priority, whereas from before I would have expected expanding bicycle and pedestrian paths, crosswalks and sidewalks and trails would have been kind of a higher priority. So I would like to hear some comments from some people about how the two go together or how they see that.
Great. I think that's a good comment. So Val or Josh, I know you guys have chimed in before, but if you talked about the bike and ped safety before and you chose the maintaining or improving roadway surfaces this time, we'd like to hear about that. And I think maybe, you know, one thing to note is that sometimes improving those roadway surfaces, you can also come with making those improvements that supports, you know, either adding bicycle lanes or just having a safer surface for riding bicycles. So, you know, it can be for multiple modes of transportation, but who'd like to speak up? You know, we've got a comment in the chat. Do you want to go ahead and look at that, Tim, and you can read that out for everybody?
Yep. We've got a comment in the chat from visiting. Maintaining streets and roadways is particularly critical in neighborhoods where there are no sidewalks. It's the only pedestrian access way for residents where there are no sidewalks. Proper roadway surface repair is necessary. ADA ramps are also not put in as they should be where South Ogden recently redid 38th Street full depth pavement repair.
Thanks. All right, great. Got Val.
So I did not respond to the I didn't do the opposite. So I have to respond. She's going, well, if you did both, I didn't. The surface treatment, the making sure our roads stay in good shape. There's never enough money. It's a Utah problem, especially that there's never enough money for the roads. And so for me as a resident, I think that's just the top priority because I'm driving on them every day. And if they are not well-maintained, then it doesn't matter about anything else because I'm driving through potholes or doing whatever. So, so I don't know. I can't answer the question because I stayed consistent with going, hey, I'm more about the treatment and knowing what an issue it is for cities to maintain them as they need to. So
great. Thanks, Val. And looks like we have another comment in the chat.
Yeah, there's a follow-up. Can the city properly fix the ramps or ADA accessible? I don't know if anybody from staff side feels you know, has context on that particular project.
So I can address that. When road repairs are done and it's required that we update to ADA. So we don't upgrade to ADA when we haven't repaired the road yet because we'd have to rip it back out again. So we usually do that in one fell swoop.
Okay, thanks. That's a great explanation. And I know it's great to know if there's anywhere that residents could go to see what that sort of prioritization of road upgrades is. Is that information that's available, Doug?
I think you're muted, Doug, if you were trying to respond.
Yep, you're right. Sorry about that. So they could get with Matt, the city manager, or with John Anderson, our public works director. He's the one who really works with that directly and would be able to give him that priority because sometimes it changes. So we did work with a company who prioritized those for us. And then sometimes as things change, whether that's a water leak below it or something like that, then those priorities do change occasionally.
Sure. Okay. Anybody else want to chime in on this question? And
If not, I think, you know, what Tim and I wanted to do is just see, you know, if there's other transportation related questions or comments, you know, that weren't covered by the polling questions. We just wanted to take 5 minutes or so just to open it up for a general discussion on any transportation related topics that we might not already have focused on. So if there's something, you know, that you want to comment on, go ahead and raise your hand and we'll just open it up for a general discussion at this point in the meeting. Great, Val, go ahead.
Sorry, question, particularly on the introduction, Tim, that you gave with the Wasatch Front ATP projects and the Edgewood Drive bike lane. How far down, I mean, it looked like it was in the future for future phases. How far is that in the process?
In terms of like the project phasing?
Well, I saw the project, meaning like it probably wasn't funded, showing up now on the books in terms of an idea. So, like, what would that entail and where would that bike lane go?
Yeah, great question. Let me, I don't have information right on hand. You know, on sort of the fine details of that project, we can definitely look into, you know, how it's phased, you know, how it might be implemented, so forth. That was the Edgewood bike lane.
Yeah. So further north, Edgewood. So it's dark. So there's one. It looks like coming down from Adams. It's it's in one of the more. Yep. Right through there. Yeah. You hit it. Yep.
Yeah, so as you can see from the color coding on this one, apologies if it comes through a little blurry for anybody. So that's a phase three project in the RTP. So that wouldn't be getting implemented based on current planning for a couple decades out. Right?
Yeah.
Obviously,
doesn't even have money. Yeah, money's not even.
Right. Obviously, that could be moved up in terms of priority, you know, based on the feedback that South Ogden is residents and officials are providing WFRC or just local prioritization, you know, if you're able to pursue, you know, other funding sources for that, if it's sort of a key facility of interest.
Well, knowing the hills right here, no, I mean, we can see bikers anyway. What does then maybe a fairer question to ask Tim is when they say bike lanes, like in these projects, what does that typical section then look like? So if the road's already kind of a wider road, what changes it then with a bike lane? Is that's probably a better, more general question to ask that will.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good question. What WFRC has on that plan right now would just be sort of the typical bike lane, so a, you know, maybe roughly 4 foot, 5 foot, you know, just stripe separated kind of bike lane at the edge of the travel lane on that road. That being said, you know, as you get closer to implementation, especially, you know, if it's a wider road, there's more space available, get into the design process with it, and there might be other options. You know, if you have a relatively wide roadway and lower traffic volumes, you know, you might choose to put in a buffered bike lane if that's not going to cause disruptions to other uses on the facility, or if it's just determined to be a high priority to have that as a more separated and more safe kind of facility, you might choose to have a painted buffer to provide a little bit more separation from vehicle traffic. So
okay.
Again, those sort of determinations get made as you get, you know, a little closer to having the funding lined up and you know, taking that closer design look rather than 30,000
yeah. Because ironically, yeah. You've also got Edgewood, Edgewood, who's actually a very, very narrow road. And, you know, I don't know if that's an ideal bike path. Like, it's great for the cars, right? But at the expense of what, right? Like, at the expense of the cars, then you put in a bike. So, yeah. So just kind of some concerns of that part of it. And then also any kind of concerns at that I've seen in other places where they're like, oh, we're going to put a bike lane and you can't park there anymore. It's like, make sure the residents really, really are the ones that are wanting that bike lane in. So that's my 2 cents from the peanut gallery. And I'm going to now mute myself. So thanks. And I saw another thing coming through the chat. So.
Yeah. And I think that comment in the chat was just about, you know, using sidewalks for bicycles as well, especially for young children. And I think there is some of that push to look at sidewalks, not just as walking paths, but how can we design sidewalks so they can be multimodal pathways and have enough room for, you know, somebody to ride a bike, somebody to be walking, and, you know, just to have people walking side by side. So I thought this might be just a good time to mention a sort of a related project and document that informs and is sort of linked to the general plan, which is the Active Transportation Plan, that South Ogden City was one of three communities that pulled together an active transportation plan. Lisa, do you want to chime in and just, you know, give the kind of the quick summary on the timing of that, when it was completed, and, you know, how that is going to relate to the general plan?
Well, I know it was just recently completed, and it was kind of Washington Terrace. No, or was it Riverdale? Riverdale, who spearheaded it. And because we are such kind of close communities, that it didn't make much sense for them to plan a trail and just end at where their city limits end. And so they included the three cities together, so it made more sense for the plan. And we hope to adopt it as part of the general plan when we get to that point.
Great. Thanks, Lisa. And I think, you know, maybe Val, just kind of circling back to the phasing of these regional transportation plan projects. And as Tim mentioned, you know, this is pretty high level, but when a city or a group of communities comes together to identify more specific projects or improvements, then that's something that with the next round of the RGP, when it gets updated, you know, that's information that can be incorporated and addressed on the maps. So that's something that if we are looking to adopt the findings and recommendations of this active transportation plan for the general plan, when the Wasatch Front Regional Council goes back to update these maps, we might see some shift in that prioritization of those bike and pedestrian improvements. It looks like Josh has got his hand up, and Josh, go ahead.
Sorry, I feel like I'm competing with Val here as talking the most here. So one of the questions I have, going back to that last poll, I was one of the ones, or if not the only one, that selected the roadway capacity. And it's obviously a concern as you're commuting back and forth to work. One thing that's happened here in Utah, as we all know, with rapid growth, is Utah's become very reactionary as far as road capacity goes, instead of proactive. Classic example is 89 between here and Farmington. That should have been done 10 years ago. And the big joke is when they're finished, they're already going to be behind the power curve. So I guess the question I have in that realm is road capacity something that South Ogden City is actively focusing on to be proactive instead of reactive as part of the general plan?
So looking at addressing road capacity, Tim, do you want to go ahead and just touch on that as far as, you know, where the general plan addresses, you know, sort of the general issues versus getting into specifics. So I'll go ahead and turn it over to you.
Yeah, so the general plan is looking ahead at where we might be seeing some of those issues coming up in the future. One of the ways in which we're doing that is just looking at the regional travel demand model, which is a computer simulation essentially of what traffic might look like in the future. So that's bringing up some particular areas where you're going to, we're anticipating based on likely future growth that you'll see larger or smaller increases in traffic relative to what you see today. So it is helping us to try and, you know, get ahead of some of those problems and identify where those issues might be coming up in the future. As you said, with respect to 89 widening, and, you know, that should have been done in past. The challenge with that, which we've seen, you know, in working with WFRC and UDOT and other agencies in making these prioritization decisions, is, you know, there's always a longer list of projects that people are clamoring for than there's necessarily funding to go around. So those sort of arbitrage decisions do tend to lead to, you know, just naturally by dint of funding availability, a certain amount of, you know, addressing needs that have already popped up rather than, you know, building out new capacity where it's not yet needed.
Great. Thanks, Tim. So we also, you know, you mentioned Farmington in the chat that was mentioning sort of Farmington's solution to having pedestrians on one side and the other side being used for bicycle trails. So I think we've had some great discussions, and I think both Tim and I are probably encouraged that so much of the discussion has been about bike and pedestrian mobility around the city and getting around. And, you know, when you think about quality of life and community well-being, just having the ability to have options for how you travel and how you get to where you need to go without needing to get in your car is very important moving forward. So I think we've had a great discussion here tonight. I'm going to quickly show a video about the community well-being survey, and then we'll finish up by just sharing the link for taking that survey, and we'll copy and paste the link into the chat box before we leave off. And we're just asking everybody to kind of help spread the word about the survey. We're trying to get our response rate up, and we're also, you know, apparently trying to get more men to take the survey, because right now our divide is about 68% women, 32% men, and our first 101 responders. So let's see if we can get that closer to 50-50 and get our totals numbers up. So gonna go ahead and
Susie,
find the...
Sorry, this is Lisa. Before you do that, if you don't mind, I would just like to ask Josh a question. And Josh, because you said you did vote for the priority of expanding roads and things like that, if it came down to a choice between doing that or adding sidewalks to some of the older neighborhoods, which one would you choose? I mean, the city would love to do all of it, but unfortunately that's not the reality. Just to get an idea, I would like you to respond to that.
Well, that's a good question. It's a hard question to answer. And I can give you the selfish answer, which would be for me would be the road capacity. But the parent answer, which is the safety of my children and the surrounding kids in the neighborhood, would definitely be the sidewalks. So obviously I'm going to go with the sidewalk one for the kids and their safety.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for responding.
Great. So I'm going to go ahead and launch the video, but Tim, while I'm getting that set up, do you want to just check the chat box? It looks like we had a couple more messages come in about bike lanes and safety. So you can take
Great. There was one additional comment. Can our city first identify simple, no, or very low cost solutions for making bike lanes in Europe? It's highly populated in Asia. Bikes and pedestrians are allowed in the same places. Makes sense. Car hitting a biker could be fatal, so the separation between bike and car use, the better the design. Just to respond to that a little bit. Well, a couple of considerations. First off, putting in a simple painted bike lane, especially if that's paired with a road resurfacing project or something of that nature, is quite low cost. Anything that might have like a curb separation or the painted buffer that requires a little bit more manual painting, those can be a little bit more costly. But just putting the paint down is pretty cost effective in general. With respect to putting, trying to create spaces with that bikes and pedestrians can share, I definitely understand what you're saying around, having those modes separated from vehicles as more of a safety priority, that tracks. Generally, if we're designing spaces to be a shared bike and ped facility, we try to go for a wider sidewalk so that people can safely pass each other within that space and aren't conflicting. And that can actually increase the cost a little bit more. There's not a one-size-fits-all answer to accommodating bikes and pedestrians on different roadways, and we kind of just want to look at, what's the opportunity within the roadway, what's the opportunity off the roadway, above the curb, on a sidewalk, and try and find the solution that makes sense for the context of a given road or a given neighborhood.
Great. Thanks, Tim. And I'm going to go ahead and share this video from Courtney. Let me know if that's what's showing up, because when I preview my share screen, it's being a little ambiguous. And do you guys see the Dr. Courtney Flint on the 2021 Utah Wellbeing Survey?
We do.
Okay, great. And I remembered to turn on the sound this time, so I'm going to go ahead and mute. Let's hear from Courtney.
Hello, I'm Dr. Courtney Flint from Utah State University, and I lead the Utah Wellbeing Project. I'm pleased to have partnered from around Utah to conduct surveys with... Hello, I'm Dr. Courtney Flint from Utah State University, and I lead the Utah Wellbeing Project. I'm pleased to have partnered with over 20 cities from around Utah to conduct surveys with local residents to inform city leaders.
Can you guys hear that, or is it just not coming through to me?
We can hear it, but it's choppy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Let me go ahead and see if I can get the movie clip to show up. Seems like it's just destined to be choppy tonight, so I'm going to go ahead and skip the video. And
if you could just put the link in the chat, Susie, yep. And then people can click on it. Yeah. It's about a 30 to 45 second video just for people's.
Perfect.
So they know.
All right. Okay, so the Community Wellbeing and General Plan Survey, we've got the link to it, this tiny URL. I'm going to go ahead and copy and paste that into the chat box. And so before you leave tonight, if you haven't already taken the survey, or even if you have, we'd like you to just copy that link, paste it into your browser, open up the survey, take it after we leave tonight or later on, and then also pass it on to your family, your friends, and your neighbors so that we can get a few more people participating and up our number of respondents for this great survey. So we'll put a link to that survey question as well as Courtney's video in the chat. And then I think that is probably wrapping it up for tonight. So let me just get those links in there and we'll have you on your way. Okay, we've got the link to the survey in there, and then I'm just going to copy the link to the video next. And I just need to change it so I'm writing to everybody and not just to our tech team.
I was about to say, I'm sorry, Susie, it's not showing up. Thanks.
Okay. All right. The link to the video is there. And now let me just redo that link for the survey. So just the great thing about this survey is that it's part of a statewide research survey that Professor Courtney Flint is conducting. She's with Utah State University's Extension program and has just been doing great work just trying to get out there and identify those critical components of the landscape and cities and their policies and what contributes to both personal well-being but also community-wide. All right. Maybe just to close, just one last slide, and it's basically just letting you know what's coming up next. We've got the third in our three-part series, Town Hall, coming up next week, and that is going to be focusing on housing as our topic. It'll be at 6 p.m. again on January 27th. We'll be sending the link for that Zoom invite to Lisa, and she'll get that posted. So we're hoping to see you there again. And thanks again for joining us. We enjoyed talking with you and look forward to moving forward with the general plan. Thanks, everybody, and have a good night.
Thanks, everyone.